Let's turn our Bibles to Song of Solomon's. Song of Solomon's, chapter 7, verse 10. Song of Solomon's, or Song of Songs, chapter 7. Chapter 7? Yeah. Verse 10. Song of Songs, chapter 7, verse 10. It says, I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. I am my beloved's, and his desire is for me. So this morning, let's look to our neighbors and say, Beloved, you are your beloved's, and God's desire is for you. Amen. Yeah, God's desire is for you. Have you ever, I mean, we see this in movies all the time. Have you ever had to go to the cafeteria, right, in your school or whatever, and you had to sit by yourself? You know, when I was working at my school, Canadian International School, even in grade 6, you would have, you know, like the popular table with all the popular students, and then you would have the occasional, like a new student or a student that no one likes, and you see that person sitting by himself or herself. And when I have lunch duty and I have to walk around the cafeteria, make sure everyone's doing okay, my heart always broke for that one kid, you know, that was sitting by himself or herself, and you could always tell that they felt very awkward, like they wanted to be able to sit with people, but they couldn't. And sometimes I want to go sit next to them, but I know they don't really care about me. Like, they don't care if a teacher comes and sits with them. They want one of their friends to come, one of their peers to come and sit with them. And I remember being at university, sometimes I would have to sit by myself, even in the university cafeteria. And even then, you would feel a little bit, you know, like, you're okay, but you always feel a little bit like a loser. You're like, ugh, here I am, having lunch by myself in the cafeteria. And you know, we all long, you know, we all have a longing to be desired by somebody. You know, we all have a longing to be the object of someone's desire. You know, that's why, you know, we talk about marriage a lot here, right? Because we want to be desired by that one person. You know, we long to be desired by that one person. But not just talking about marriage, right? We also, you know, when we talk about like friendships and best friends and stuff, we all have that longing, not even in a romantic relationship. We just want to be desired by someone. I remember, I really don't like that moment where I'm hanging out in a group and somebody will ask someone that I consider to be a good friend, you know, they say, hey, so who's your best friend? And then I'm always like, oh, is that person going to say my name? Or, you know, it's always an awkward moment, like, what is that person going to, or like someone were to ask me and I know someone's there, I'm like, you know, like, because we all have that longing, but, you know, we don't want to verbalize because we don't want to seem, I don't know, you know, just an awkward moment. It's like, okay. But, because we all have that desire. We long to be someone's best friend. We long to be someone's husband or wife because we want to be desired by people. And today's passage, it says to us, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. This book, Song of Songs, is written by Solomon, and it's written as a love story between a woman and a man, but spiritually, it can be read as the woman, the bride here, being us, the Christians, the followers of Jesus Christ, and King Solomon, who represents the man here in this book, also represents Jesus, King Jesus. So when this is verse 10, this is the bride here proclaiming, I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. She's talking about King Solomon, but the Holy Spirit has written this book through King Solomon to represent the love between God and man. And so, you know, you take that for yourself. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is King Solomon, King Jesus, and his desire is for me. His King Jesus' desire is for you. And this isn't just a nonchalant, like, oh, I kind of desire some coffee this morning kind of desire, you know? This kind of desire is a passionate, heartfelt desire for us, you know, the one that burns with fire, and he has that kind of desire for us. If you look in the Hebrew word for that word desire, it also means stretching out after. Yeah, that's a good word picture, eh? You know, you want something so much that you're stretching yourself out after this thing that you're trying to get. In Song of Solomon's chapter 4, we'll just read a few more verses. Chapter 4, verse 1, this is the king talking to the bride, and he says, how beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. This just expresses the kind of love and the kind of desire that King Jesus has for us. How beautiful you are, my darling, how beautiful you are. And in verse 9 and 10, it says, you have made my heart beat faster, my sister, my bride. You have made my heart beat faster with a single glance of your eyes, with a single strand of your necklace. Verse 10, how beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine and the fragrance of your oils and all kinds of spices. Yeah, so here King Jesus is saying to us, how beautiful is your love. And he's saying that our love to him is better than all wine and all spices. And a single glance of our eyes has made his heart beat faster. Another translation of the Bible says, you have ravished my heart with a single glance of your eyes. So that's how much God desires us, you know, and how much he's excited when we come to him and when we look to him with every step towards him in our heart, he is moved with delight and he's ravished in his eyes. Let's turn to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea is after Daniel. Hosea is a crazy prophet, eh? God will ask prophets to do some crazy things. Hosea, what God asked him to do was God asked him to marry or find a prostitute. Her name was Gomer, and marry this girl because God wanted his life to be kind of a symbolic, you know, representation of God's love for Israel. Because even though Israel kept turning away from God and turning to idols and other things, God still had a love for them, and God reached out to Israel. And so Hosea, you know, ended up marrying a prostitute who ran away from him to do her stuff, you know, away from him. But he went, God asked him to go and find her again and to take her back and to marry her again. So that, I mean, his whole life, you know, was a illustration, basically, right, of God's love for Israel. But in chapter 11, I'll read the whole chapter, it's only 12 verses, it really shows, man, God's heart and God's desire for his people. When Israel was a youth, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they called them, the more they went from them. This is where it says, more they, God is talking about the prophets that he sent to them. The more my prophets called them, the more they went from them. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet it is I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of a man and with bonds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and fed them. They will not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria, he will be their king, because they refuse to return to me. And the sword will whirl against their cities and will demolish their gate bars and consume them because of their counsels. So my people are bent on turning from me. Though they call them to the One on High, none at all exalts him. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are kindled. I will not execute my fierce anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again. For I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. We'll stop there. See, God is pronouncing judgment against Israel in this book the whole time because they keep turning away from him. And in the midst of pronouncing judgment, God shows his heart in verse 8. He says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? He says, my heart is turned over within me and all my compassions are kindled. And he says, I will not execute my fierce judgment, my fierce anger. And that's God's heart for the people of Israel. That's God's heart for you. You know, he desires you so much that his anger is kindled because of, you know, because these people not turning to him. But in his anger even, he's saying, man, I cannot give you up because I love you so much. And I cannot execute my fierce anger at you because my heart is turned over. My compassions are kindled. In Song of Solomons and even in Hosea, God's using this picture of marriage to talk about our relationship with God. Sometimes the Bible talks about the parent-child relationship, sometimes a friendship relationship. So please do not confuse any kind of sensual feelings towards God. Like if you ever go there, you should just come back and not stay there because that's not the kind of feelings that God and I, well, you know, it's not a sensual feeling, but he's using that picture to talk about, to symbolize the kind of intimacy, the kind of intensity of the desire, the kind of love that he has for us. But it's not, you know, so let's not go there. But we need to know that he desires us. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says, God is a jealous God. And, you know, you're only jealous because you crave something. You know, you see siblings when they get jealous. You know, I see that with Elise and Emma. You know, if Emma gets a hug or Emma is in Lisa's arms, Elise will get all like, hey, mom, you hold me too, you know. And Lisa's like, what am I going to do? But it's, you know, Elise gets jealous because she really craves and she really wants the same affection and the show of affection from her mom or her dad. And in the same way, you know, why is God jealous over us? Because he craves our affection and our love towards him. And he doesn't want us to give it to other things. So application of, man, God loves me. God's desire is for me. I am my beloved's and his desire is for me. Number one, again, it's to hold your heads up, you know, and say, you know what? When you feel like, you know, you're not, when you feel like crap, basically, and you feel like you amount to nothing, you hold your heads high and say, man, God, the Father, you know, the King of all kings, Lord of all lords, his desire is for me. And not just a small desire, his passionate, his heartfelt, you know, stretching out after kind of desire is for you. It's for you to come to him, for you to have a relationship with him. You know, God would like to sit with you at the cafeteria, right? Even if no one wants to do that, God is there and he says, man, I want to sit with you and I want to be your friend and I want to be your lover and I want to be the one, you know, that meets all your desires and all your longings. That's number one, hold your heads high. Number two is we need to go to God. I mean, if God you know, the creator of the universe thinks that you are so attractive, and he confesses in the word that his heart is ravished by a single glance of our eyes. I mean, that's amazing in itself, but we really need to turn to him because we can bless his heart. I mean, it's crazy that we can move the heart of God with our feelings and our words and our actions and our thoughts, and yet it's true. So an application of this teaching is that we need to go to God, and we need to, I mean, you know, a single glance of your eyes, a single movement of the heart towards him is going to bless his heart so much. Then let's do that, you know, no matter where we are, whatever we're feeling, whatever we're going through, let's turn to God. And and kind of meet his desire because we can. So let's close our eyes today. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. You are your beloved. You are God's, and his desire is for you. Lord, it was you. Bow at your feet.
compared to your majesty. I am your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom, unashamed to call me your own. I am your beloved, your creation, and you love me as I am. You have called me chosen for your kingdom, unashamed to call me your own. I am your beloved,
for our group prayer focus, let's lift up our Sunday service, our baptism service. Let's ask God for good weather. Let's ask the Lord to bless our friends that are getting baptized. Let's ask them, you know, ask the Lord to really, yeah, just strengthen them and encourage them and help them as they, you know, memorize their testimony and share their testimonies. Pray for God's anointing to be there, for God to speak to the church through them. Let's pray for all the logistics, all the buses and the food and all the sound equipment that we're bringing. Let's pray for Pastor Sam that he will be able to get here, get to the beach safely. He's flying in that day, I think. So yeah, just everything. Let's just cover the whole service. Let's ask, you know, for God to bless that service and ask him to really be there. And let's also pray that, you know, it will be a service that's really pleasing to God. So let's lift up the service. Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that we are your object of desire. God, that you love us so much. God, and that you want to be with us and you want us to love you back. And we thank you, God, that the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, the Almighty God, would come and say to us that our love and our heart ravishes your heart, God. We thank you. Help us to receive that word, God, and to let that change the way we live our lives. Lord, we lift up our baptism service to you this Sunday. We ask you, Lord, for great weather. God, Lord, watch over the weather. We thank you for your faithfulness, God. And we thank you for giving us awesome and wonderful weather for us to have the baptism service. We lift up everyone that's getting baptized. God, we ask you to really bless them this week. God, really speak to them, God. Draw them closer to you, Lord. May they
just be so ready and so excited as they approach Sunday and as they share their testimonies with us on Sunday. I pray, God, that it'll just be anointed, God. Presence of God would come through their testimonies, God, and people will be blessed, God, and you will be glorified, Father God. We lift up all the logistics, Lord. Watch over us, God, as we plan and prepare to the best of our ability. And Lord, we rely on you. We depend on you. God, we thank you. We love you. God bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. God bless you. Have a good day.